The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Volume up a tiny bit. Okay, episode 41.
Yep.
All right, hello everyone. Welcome to the.
Oh my gosh! Whoa!
What?
Hang on.
What? What? Okay, I'm not doing it again.
that was.
Did it clip?
Yeah, very much so.
I don't know why. Is this too loud? People listening?
That actually sounded a little bit.
That
better.
Was a little better.
Well, it's computers, so.
Okay.
Anyways, I'm Dylan. Hopefully, this isn't too bad of audio quality for anyone listening. And with me, as always, across the pond is the hard man with hard opinions, Andrew.
Hello.
The stupid awesome analyst, John.
Yo.
And the uncommon writer, Sean, is joining us as well.
Hello.
And brand new to the podcast to help us talk about Power Rangers is the man with many nicknames, Travis.
That works.
I was wondering if he was going to say anything.
So yeah, this episode we are getting into some Power Rangers.
Did
stuff,
I say that this is the Wicked Anime Podcast? Did I ever get to that?
Yes.
Did I say that this was the Wicked Anime Podcast before you guys interrupted me?
I don't know, but you are listening to it.
I hope people would know this though. So I think that's okay.
Yeah. Could you imagine people start listening to the podcast? Wicked Anime? No. I bet a lot of people say that actually.
I was about to say they usually get about 10 minutes into this and they go, "Oh, I thought this was something else."
Yeah, not my cup of tea.
Thank you, first comment ever.
Well, yeah, we will be talking about some Power Rangers stuff later on. We'll get into that once we get to the Tamagotchi, but we got some news to go through first. We actually have quite a bit to go through because there's a lot of cool stuff going on, so let's ring the news bell.
News.
Thank you. So first up in media news, I wanted to talk about a trailer that was just released from Disney Animated Studios, which was Big Hero 6.
Looks awesome.
Doesn't it? Oh my gosh. Like, So I'm not a Marvel guy, but I love Marvel movies, and the fact that this is Marvel Studios' first collaboration with Disney Animation Studios, it's awesome. The reason why we're talking about a Marvel comic, too, by the way, is Big Hero 6 is based on a superhero group that's kind of like the Marvel Teen Titans, in my opinion, anyways. Hmm. And the entire group is based out of Japan. Big Hero 6 is like, it takes place in a universe where, after the bombs were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in World War II, they harnessed that nuclear energy to create the technology that they have now, and it creates like people with superpowers and stuff like that. And Silver Samurai is really prominent in it. Sunpyre is really prominent in the beginning of the series. I don't know if the movie is going to take that spot. I think it's actually going to do the newer era where all the heroes are a lot younger in the group, but I'm really looking forward to it. Did you guys see the teaser trailer that Disney released?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. Where they introduced the leader of the group, Hero, who also has Baymax, his robot creature, who can turn into a dragon.
Is it a robot? Because it just looks like an inflatable thing.
Yeah, it's in the comic, he's a robot.
Okay. Yeah, I saw some images from the comics and was curious as to what was going on.
Yeah,
I couldn't really tell.
I didn't know anything about Big Hero 6 before I took a look at the trailer, and it made me really intrigued. And when I found out that it was, you know, like the young superhero group, which is like my favorite kind of storyline, I was on board. You know, they have the leader, Honey Lemon, who's got nanotechnology bag where she can pull any object in the universe out of it at any point. Ebon Samurai, I believe his name is, where he's just like a young samurai kid. And then Fred, who is also known as Fredzilla. He can turn into a kaiju.
Awesome.
Yep. I'm really looking forward to the movie. It's, you know, done by the Disney Animation Studios can do no wrong. They've, you know, done Wreck-It Ralph. They did Frozen. They did
Tangled.
Meet the Robinsons. I mean, none of those movies are bad. Next up in media news, we were talking about this with Sean a little earlier, but there was an announcement that Pacific Rim 2 has been officially announced.
Now, I speculate this as, like, straight rumors, because I want to...
Well, I heard that, you know, like, the rumor about it is the part which is was really exciting. The rumor is that they're using robots that combine kind of like Voltron robots.
Yeah. The only reason why I find that to be very rumored is mostly because the first movie ended the story. So, technically, the kaiju, they can't develop more robots because all the robots are gone, and the kaijus haven't shown up unless they figure out a way to bring them back.
Right.
Yeah, those aliens might be pissed now.
Yeah.
Well, so they have plenty of reason to come back.
The stuff that I read, and I forget who it was from, I think it was from Travis, the writer, who was saying the ideas that they were looking to explore was the kaiju coming back piloting robots, and now that we've mind-linked with kaiju, our robots would have some kaiju in them. So it was going to be like this mishmash of different things going at it, which I would super look forward to.
That would be bizarre. Yeah,
I would just look forward to anything with more robots.
Robots fighting kaiju, oh god.
Because here's the thing. If you guys finish listening to this podcast first and then go over to Nerdy Show, there's an episode of Nerdy Show.
You can get through it.
There's an episode of Nerdy Show where Jonathan and I are talking with Travis Beecham, along with the Nerdy Show guys. The Nerdy Show guys said it all often. And we actually discussed sequels, where what Travis said was, we did not create a story, we created a world. So a sequel can take place at any time, any place during the timeline. Even though this one started at the end, we can start a story somewhere else in the world. May not even have robots in it. It could have completely different characters. Whatever they do, I trust him and Guillermo del Toro to write a great sequel. I know that they want to write a sequel. That's what they were talking about. And confirming a sequel is not really that big of a surprise. It's what it's going to be about is going to be a surprise.
Yeah. But I would totally look forward to Voltron-like combined robots.
I would absolutely look forward to Voltron-like robots.
Regardless of whether or not that's a true fact, we will find out. But I would just be looking forward to seeing a new teaser trailer of just, like, robots combining together and then, boom, Pacific Rim 2. And...
Yeah, more dragging ships down a street.
Well, I think we're going to be seeing a lot of robots combining in movies here in the next 10 or less years.
I hope so.
Probably.
Also in real life.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that too.
I will beat up the first person that has one and take theirs.
Beat up Travis and take his.
Well, you have a pretty good chance, Travis, because there's a good pattern of little kids and teenagers being the ones piloting robots.
Well, so. Good. I will beat the crap out of a kid.
Boom!
Teenagers taking robots from babies.
taking robots from a baby.
Glad I could immediately establish myself as a jerk.
So, speaking of giant robots and kaiju and everything like that, I'm gonna segue into. Did anybody see Godzilla?
We know Travis saw Godzilla.
I'm seeing it today. Shut up.
Yep, I saw Godzilla for sure.
Yeah, we all saw Godzilla except Sean, right?
Wow, yeah, I'm seeing it today though. Shut up.
Okay, well, we can do a non-spoiler thing for you if you want.
Godzilla's okay, hold on. Before we go any further, I just have to ask one question. Is it good?
I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
Travis.
Yes, it's a very divisive movie as far as there's some people that really hate it and the others really like it. So I think you will fall with the same side that I am where you will really like it.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's all I needed to know. If there's anybody's opinion I trust, it's his.
The reviews are split straight down the middle. In fact, one of our fan service things is somebody talking about how much they hated Godzilla. So that coming up.
LaRock did not like it.
LaRock hated Godzilla.
LaRock was once on this podcast. He did not like it.
Yeah, if you guys remember, LaRock was in the filler episode. He's very, very hard to please. The reviews are split straight down the middle. The biggest thing is, have you seen Godzilla movies in the past, Sean?
Come on.
Then you'll like it.
Yeah, and we know that your answer is yes, so that means that you
Michael
are
Brock
used to...
Michael Brock's Godzilla, that's the one he saw.
you are familiar with the formula of Godzilla movies, therefore you will be happy with this Godzilla movie, and I think that's what a lot of people's problem is.
So it sounds like it's true to the genre.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's absolutely the director knew what he was doing when making a Godzilla movie because he wanted to follow the genre or the Japanese formula, and I don't think a lot of people are used to that because Japanese storytelling is sometimes really slow and boring, and people were just upset that they're like, "Ooh, I don't think Godzilla should be a supporting character in a Godzilla movie." I was like, "Hello, Godzilla is a supporting character in all Godzilla movies. Like, what's your problem?"
The one thing I would say though is. That I agree with, but it didn't bother me that much, was that I do feel like they followed one of the lesser interesting human characters throughout the movie.
Kick-Ass?
Yeah.
No, they did, and I felt like a lot of the story points are very cliche and, like, very tropish, and, you know, things that are used over and over and over again. But again, it followed the Japanese formula of making a Godzilla movie. None of the Japanese characters in Godzilla movies have ever been interesting.
Yeah.
And that said, though, is like that's something that we, as both anime and tokusatsu lovers, are very used to. Like, yeah. We know, like, we go in wanting the formula, and like, it, and I think you're exactly right. If this movie plays out the way that you guys are saying it does, then those that don't understand that that's what you go for in these kinds of movies, we're probably going to be very disappointed. Some movies you don't go to like change social paradigm. Godzilla is not one of those movies.
Well, that's just it. Like, people are always complaining about the straight white male character. Well, I'm sorry, but that's the demographic that's going for.
Well, and that, and on top of it, like, let's be honest, guys. Who went there expecting Oscar material? Anyone?
No. Well, the Cranman's in it.
The Cranman did an Cranman awesome
is in it.
Job.
I'll give you that.
He, oh my gosh,
he did an Cranman awesome. Yeah, he killed it.
I will
awesome.
Say, I mean
my
aside from
Power Ranger after him.
It's true. And aside from even all those little complaints, there was one thing, and once again, kind of like what Dylan said, where, you know, you notice something, but it doesn't really bother you. It's just like they could have done it better.
Yeah.
Was the whole the female in the thing, the wife? She was very much just a wife, and like it was kind of painfully obvious watching it. I'm like, wow, she really doesn't have a purpose other than just being the wife.
Yeah.
I was like, but whatever. Hey, look, Godzilla.
And that was one of the main complaints. But and that's just the thing. I felt like that was all the characters. Every single character in that movie had like the captain who led the captain. He was the general, and he said bad things and wanted to nuke the people. And then there was the soldier, and he was a soldier, and he's going to save his family. And then there's the wife, and she's the wife. Like, every single character in that movie played a specific role, and that was it.
Yeah. It was so specific to Ken Watanabe. Sean, keep an eye out for this, that he had the exact same face the entire movie.
Yes.
He did Ken Watanabe face the whole time?
Yeah. Which
just,
I feel kind of bad for, because he's cool.
just as a side note, though, the purpose of Elizabeth Olsen's character as the... as the playing the wife, her purpose was to be something so that the main character had something to go back to, something that, like, if the main character died, then you would feel tension, or like the fact that he could die, there's tension there because of that. Like, if he didn't have anything going to it, he was just a dude fighting for what's right to save the planet, you wouldn't care about him as much as whether or not he had a wife and kid to go back to.
There were some weird decisions that I can't really go into without spoiling stuff for Sean that,
yeah,
and I will punch you through the
made that kind of stupid
anything.
But yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
And that's actually what I was going to say in addition to yours, is I never felt tense at any moment anyway. Like, that was I think my biggest issue with the movie, which again, it's an issue, but I can look over it because Godzilla.
Look, I felt tense at moments in that movie, but it had nothing to do with human characters. It was all around Godzilla.
Yeah. Dude, those monsters, Sean, I know that, like,
I know
the
there's
trailers...
multiple monsters, it's fine.
No, but I know that the trailers haven't really revealed anything about them. I mean, you get a glimpse of them, but you really don't get a good look at them until the movie. And I will say,
they're impressive.
These are great monsters. The monsters that they're fighting in this movie, they're great monsters.
When you see the first kaiju comes up through the city, I felt it was tense.
Yeah,
it was really tense.
I was happy. I was really, really happy. They felt like Godzilla monsters, so I was very happy.
Sean, you should see it in IMAX, too.
We're going to go to apparently Ocala has an IMAX theater now, so...
It is. I actually saw it in both, and the IMAX was just cool just because of his Godzilla scream.
Oh, man, that was awesome. That was so good.
Cool.
So there you go. Wicked Anime says yes to Godzilla. I know not everybody else says yes to Godzilla, but we say yes.
You should play the scream right there, John. Okay. Just to make this episode more complicated for you.
Okay, so without any more, you know, pushing the
actually
subject.
another just weird side note about Godzilla or interesting.
Okay, one more pushing the subject. Go ahead.
What's his name? Jared Edwards, the director of Godzilla, slated to direct a Star Wars movie spinoff, then Godzilla 2.
The Star Wars spinoff, is that one the
that's rumored to be Boba Fett going up against Avatar 2.
is that the one about the X-Wing pilots?
I don't think anyone knows for sure other than like two people inside of whoever owns Star Wars now. I don't really.
Also, if any of you haven't seen Gareth Edwards' other movie, Monsters, watch that too, because he deserves everything he gets as far as being a big director.
Okay, so next up in media news, we have the announcement that the anime Doraemon is coming to America. Now, Doraemon is a 45-year-old show. It's been playing all across the world in 35 different countries and has never come to America. It's one of the most famous and iconic animes in Japan. It's about like a time-traveling cat. And Disney, of all people, is the one picking it up. They're going to be playing 26 episodes a week on...
holy cow!
Yeah, on Disney. And get this, they're actually going to Americanize it in the same way that 4Kids Americanizes their shows. So they're going to remove things like that have to do with yen and chopsticks and all that kind of fun stuff.
Because chopsticks don't exist in America.
Chopsticks are going to be jelly donuts.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, but
I sure love me a jelly donut.
They're
going to
be the talons of an eagle.
But no, yeah, they're going to Americanize it, which, I mean, I guess in some sense it makes sense if it's going to play it on Disney Channel
for kids, little
kids, yeah. You know, but there's definitely going to be an older audience seeking it out, and they're going to complain about it, I'm sure.
Well, because there's so many Disney Channel shows that people watch anyway.
Yeah.
Like, just regular Joes.
I think the basic complaint is, though, is, like, if you put in something Japanese, like, you don't think kids can understand that there's another culture out there? You know, is that too early for them? Is there something about Japan that Disney can't show? You know? I don't know.
They do a fine job when they release the Hayao Miyazaki movies.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But they don't really change much. They just...
Exactly. Yeah. They don't change anything.
So, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of exciting. It's Doraemon, you know, it's iconic. And we are finally getting it. So, yeah.
Well, I think one of the reasons why maybe we're finally getting it is because the CG animated film is coming out.
That's true. Yeah, this Doraemon movie. Yeah, it's coming out soon. It's a good point. It's probably going to be localized by Disney when...
Hopefully. You know, that'd be kind of cool. I'd really like to see the Doraemon movie.
That's it for that, and the last piece of media news, which is probably our biggest piece, is Viz has announced that they are completely releasing Sailor Moon. All 200-something episodes are going to be re-released, redubbed, and out for sale, and it's going to be, you know, the original content that the Japanese version was.
We're finally getting it uncut, basically.
Yep.
So Sailor Scouts die and kiss each other.
Yep.
Is there also the Topless Drunk episode?
I'm not familiar with that episode.
Yeah, there was one that never even came over because what's-her-name gets drunk and then walks around the street topless.
Well, if it's canon to the like an actual episode, I imagine,
Totes canon.
So, what episode
Totes
is
can.
That?
Totes canon, yeah. I don't know the actual episode number. I've never seen it. I've only heard other...
Yeah, well,
that's
just it. I've never even heard of that episode or anything like that. We have to ask Scarlett over at Scarlett Rhapsody.
Yep,
she'll know. She's like the biggest Sailor Moon fan ever.
I think Blair's talked about it before. I'm not sure. Oh, sorry, my girlfriend is a Sailor Moon fan.
Good for her.
I'll ask her when I'm done here.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Also,
I might text her. We'll just ask her.
Yeah. Also, just as another one last side note for Sailor Moon, the original series is completely free on Hulu. If you want to go check that out,
it's actually being released slowly. Like every Monday, it's being released on both Hulu and Neon Alley.
Is that the original Japanese?
It is the original Japanese. Even though Viz is going to redub it. But we're just they just have the Japanese ones right now, which that is what I'm really interested in, is the redubbing of Sailor Moon. Who are they going to get? Especially because it's Viz. Viz has good voice actors, so are they going to get, what, is, like, Tuxedo Mask going to be Johnny on Bosch, or...
God, I hope not.
I don't know.
I mean, anyway, don't get me wrong. I like Johnny on Bosch, but...
Regardless,
Can't see him yelling, Tuxedo Mask!
Nope. Yeah, I'll be getting... Once Viz releases all of Ranma, I'll also be getting the Sailor Moon re-releases, too, because I can finally complete... without getting a bootleg, like they have at all the conventions, all 200 episodes of Sailor Moon, a complete collection of Sailor Moon and Ranma.
Yes.
So, thank you, Viz. Viz, you continue to be amazing with all your Berserk and Ranma and Sailor Moon.
So, that's it for media news. We are going to move on to some gaming news. We finally have gaming news again.
This is a really long news section.
Yeah, it totally is.
Short name.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's go.
It's okay. Okay, so yeah, gaming news is going to go by really fast. We just got a new development. First off, Legend of Zelda Hyrule Warriors is going to arrive in Japan on August 14th this year. One thing that I found out that is being developed by Team Ninja, the same people who did like Dead or Alive and the Ninja Gaiden series.
Oh, great. Another game I can't play.
Why?
Because Ninja Gaiden is the hardest freaking game ever created.
It's going to be a Dynasty Warriors-like game, though, I think. At least that's the speculation from the teaser stuff.
So that's coming in development, and there hasn't been a word whether or not it's coming to America. I would imagine that it is, just if it's going to be on the Wii U, it's going to come over here. You know, it just makes sense. We've gotten every Zelda game so far. And then next up in gaming news, this is the last piece. The Attack on Titan 3DS game may be getting a U.S. release. It was a very popular release in Japan. It sold 93,000 copies on its release weekend in Japan, which is pretty good for a DS game.
I'd get it.
Due to the popularity of the show here, you know, it's playing on Adult Swim now, and we're getting the release from Funimation soon enough. There are groups of people and publishers looking to get the 3DS game released here in the U.S. They want to see it come to fruition.
Hey,
so
hey, Trav, have you seen Attack on Titan?
Nope.
No?
No?
It has Gantz-level violence in it.
I've heard nothing but good about it. I just haven't made my way around to it yet.
It is the anime that is bridging the gap between...
Japan and US.
Yeah, otakus and non-otakus.
And Broncos fans.
Wow.
Dylan, you really like that joke of yours.
No, I'm laughing at Travis.
Republicans
was laughing at that.
Working together. It's crazy.
I think Dylan broke me with that joke.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Well, anyway, I was throwing that out there because I think it's one that he wouldn't mind watching.
So, that's it for gaming news. It is time to move on to some strange news. Woo!
Strange news.
I'm excited.
You sounded excited.
So, first up in strange news, we got a story about AKB48, the Akihabara pop idol group. They are releasing a new album, and they are having a release party for the new album. The interesting thing about AKB48, if you don't know, there are 48 members in the group.
Holy
and goodness. They have their own stage and studio in the Akihabara where, you know, fans can go and see shows. And the interesting thing about their group is that because there's so many of them, they always give a chance for fans to vote on who is going to be the more prominent members of the group, you know, who's going to be front and center and singing. And the way that they do that is whenever they release a new album like they're doing now is they have random CDs that have ballots inside of them, and you can vote on who you want to see be the more prominent idol. The reason why this is strange news is because of this new album that's being released. There is a fan out there who is really excited about Juri Takahashi, one of the girls in the group. She hasn't been in the front lines ever, and she's not the most popular, but he is a super fan, and he spent 31.5 million yen on CDs, which is roughly
$20.
$311,000 American on CDs.
Oh, wow.
So that he could get enough ballots to vote Juri Takahashi to be finally at the front lines.
Well, that's a good way to get people to buy CDs.
For sure.
Well, and then he has to EMS those back to Japan, which is going to be even more expensive.
And okay, so the speculation that was in the article that I read was, if he spent that much money on CDs, why doesn't he just produce a solo album for her? He's got the money for it. You know, like, why didn't he just produce a CD for her? I'm sure it would cost less.
Yeah, right.
How much did he spend on it?
He spent American $311,000.
I'm pretty sure you could afford to just put on a performance and be like, hey, look, I paid for this, so she's singing.
Yeah, exactly.
Or spend his money elsewhere and be happy elsewhere.
That's true. If I had $311,000, I'd do much better things.
Buy Jerry Takahashi.
Yeah, if he's happy with, maybe that's just probably his otaku thing, is pop idols, and specifically AK-48. So I can't say that he should spend his money elsewhere, because who knows what else he would spend his money on. I don't know.
House?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe he has a house
already.
He's
probably super rich.
Yeah, he's got to be, like, super rich.
Or super desperate.
Or super desperate.
He saved up all that money.
Each one of his ballots has a personal note written, handwritten, to Jerry Takahashi on the back of it.
No one else can love you.
Just me. Oh, man, we shouldn't be making fun of someone.
All right, so, breaking news.
Now we shouldn't be making fun of someone?
Yes.
Go ahead, Sean.
I just got word from Blair that there was an episode in which he did get drunk and Usagi did, who's apparently the real name of Sailor Moon.
Usagi,
whatever. It was when, I guess, Tuxedo Mask left for the United States to go to college. She just didn't handle that crap well, and yeah, that happened.
Teenage girls, man. Jesus.
I know, right?
That's really dark.
I had it from her. That happened. So
that's crazy. I had no idea that existed. And yeah, that's like super weird. Because I mean, Sailor Moon isn't, you know, I mean, it does have dark points in it, but that's just weird. like encouraging underage drinking.
It sounds like it's supposed to be comical, though. Like,
it is supposed to be comical, but like, she's still like a minor.
Yeah,
it's just weird.
Well, anyway, I didn't mean to derail you that much. I just wanted to let you know.
That's kind of strange. We were in the strange news section, and that's a little weird. So,
okay.
I mean, I'm sure other Sailor Moon fans are like, I knew about that already, but still
favorite
too
episode ever.
Stupid nerds.
Get out of here, nerd. All right. So, last up in strange news, I don't know if you guys would know this. This has been going on for a really long time. Do you guys know the popularity in Japan of the Crimean Attorney General of Russia, Natalia Pokol? I don't know how to say her last name.
Poklonskaya?
No.
Poklonskaya.
No, okay. I am not familiar.
Okay, so here, you know what?
Here, Skype me it, yeah, so I can look it up. Okay, that's weird.
Okay. So she is the
annexes Crimea and your heart.
Yeah. So she is. She has officially become a Japanese meme. It's been going on for a really long time, like months, and we've never talked about it on the podcast. The reason why I'm talking about it now is her fan art has kind of gotten her into some trouble.
Puts the cute in prosecute.
Yeah, in Japan, she's known as the kawaii prosecutor.
She's really cute.
Yep.
She's
34 years old, and the reason why it's gotten her into some trouble is because of all the attention that she's been getting. It's put her on like a warning list of people who have been listed for treason against, you know, Ukrainian government, and when all that stuff was going down, almost as like a warning against Putin. And the reason why she was put on the list was because of her popularity, you know, on the internet.
It's kind of weird, because the last thing I saw, like, about this was, there's an Iroge game in Japan called My Girlfriend's the President, and they made fan art of her in that position where it says my girlfriend is the attorney prosecutor. Yeah, so
Looks like people are cosplaying as her.
That's so bizarre.
It's really bizarre. The new news that has come up about this is now the European Union has European United, whatever, has banned her from ever setting foot anywhere inside of Europe, mainly because of the whole treason thing that's been going on. And but now that all this stuff has started coming through, she's not very happy that she's become so popular in Japan anymore.
Well, yeah, her career's been ruined.
Yeah, basically.
Pretty much. But she's been put on treason, but apparently nothing, like she's under the protection of Russian government, and I don't think anything's going to happen because of it. So, but, I mean, like, yeah, because of this fan art thing, she's not really too happy about it.
Why isn't she just making money off of that? I would just find some way to convert that popularity into money and be like, you know what, my career's screwed, this is how I get paid now.
Hook up with that guy buying all those CDs.
Yeah.
Make an anime or something.
She could just, you know, find her fans to fund like her own campaign.
Kickstarter.
Convention visits and shit around Japan. People spend $1 million to go see her.
This is honestly one of the least weird things I've heard out of Japan.
Well, it's pretty weird to me, but it's least surprising.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Are we that jaded now? I mean, is that where we are?
I
that
guess
Japan
so.
Almost got somebody killed, and we're just like, yeah, sounds right.
I'm just waiting for Mecca, and then I'm just be like, told you.
Beat up a kid and take it. I'm telling you, that is the strategy.
Yeah. We've already discussed this, Sean.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't on board.
There's already a plan of attack.
I was looking up the Sailor Moon thing.
Anyways, that's as strange as it gets.
That is as strange as it gets.
Let's move on to what we're watching, which I think is going to be pretty short.
Yeah, for the past couple weeks, I haven't been watching anything different.
I don't think so either.
I will give an update on Nanana's Buried Treasure, how I've been so excited about watching that. I watched the first couple episodes. It was good, and then it kind of turned normal anime, like...
Cliche.
Yeah, cliche things. It's still cute in specific areas, so I'll watch it there, and... I'm kind of curious where the story's going. It's kind of turning into an action-y, shonen-y kind of a thing, and it's kind of weird. Not the direction I thought it was going to go, so...
Just a less impressive take.
Less impressive than I thought it... than the initial impression.
All right.
That's about it.
I haven't been watching anything new.
Yeah, nothing besides...
Sean?
Yeah.
Well, I have been watching Attack on Titan. We already talked about the Attack on Titan dub and everything like that. I've been watching that. I've been rewatching it, and it reminds me of how much I loved... You know, the reason why I loved Attack on Titan so much to begin with. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the rest of the dub, because I've heard from people who have seen more of the later episodes that it really does stand up to what it's been when the original Japanese, you know, came out.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to that. Sean?
I've been watching... I rewatched the first episode of Kamen Rider Gaim, which is the current season.
Yeah.
I was going to attempt to catch up, and then I forgot that it was all about fruit, and I kind of lost steam.
Dude, Sean, we actually had a fan, I think it was last episode we talked about this.
Oh.
A fan from fan service who kind of, like, not really called you out, but was
pleading with you to finish it because it's good.
Yeah, and I basically explained to him, no, Sean is stubborn, so he won't do that.
No. This has always been my philosophy. If it takes 10 episodes to get good, it's not good.
Yeah, no, and I agree with
you. We have a 3-episode policy here.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
And I'm usually even a tad more generous. I'll usually give something 4 or 5 episodes. But, like, yeah. I got 1 episode in this. I was just like, fuck no.
Man. So basically, we got a thing from a fan saying, you really have to keep watching it because it's actually it's his favorite one.
That's probably the guy who wrote the show. Let's be honest.
So
that'd be kind of cool. That's a prominent name listening to Wicked Anime. Which in that case, why are you doing that?
But I just thought it was funny that he's also interested enough in
right.
Kamen Rider and everything the same way we are over here.
Maybe
to,
I'll sit down
to let
this
you know.
Weekend and just kind of burn through and catch up. Just because I haven't watched much in a little while, just because I got a new job and everything, and I do want to give it the I've been wanting to watch something. I've been working on doing some writing for something else, and I kind of need to go back to the source material anyway. The problem is I feel like Gaim is not the source material I want to work from.
Yeah.
So I've been watching a lot of Kabuto and Double because they were just those were my favorite seasons. Those were the things that made me enjoy the genre. And so I've been going back through on those. That said, though, I do want to catch up. I never finished Wizard, and I wasn't hating Wizard, which was the one right before Gaim. So yep, I might just burn through all of those and just catch up.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So I thought you thought that you would think that that was interesting, yeah, seeing that you weren't around last episode.
Okay. Well, I'll keep an eye out. I mean, you could always shoot me on Facebook. I'll definitely answer stuff. You know I usually do.
Yeah.
Even if I'm not involved.
All right,
Travis, what are you watching? Are you watching anything?
I was thinking you guys were going to pass me up. I have been watching, actually, a lot of reality shows. although I have a rule. I only watch reality shows that actually impact a business, so I don't watch generic crap. But I've been watching Face Off, Jim Henson's Creature Shop, and
Ultimate
Fighter.
Yeah, those are good. Yeah, those two are actually pretty relevant. As far as being, as far, artistic-wise, those are the best reality TV shows on TV.
I agree, 1,000%.
Yeah, those are the ones that I keep up with, too. At least Face Off. I haven't kept up with Creature Shop as much.
I didn't really like Creature Shop as much as I loved the creation and, like, the way that they presented their stuff. They did camera tests, which they actually shot a short, like, 30-second scene with each one of the creatures, which I loved. That was awesome. The whole creating process didn't really interest me as much as Face Off did.
Yeah, Face Off is just phenomenal, like, as far as art goes. And it's nice to see a competition where they respect each other as artists and actually help each other even though they're competing with each other, because that's what artists do. Like, yeah, they critique each other, they help each other, they don't just say, whoa, man, you suck, too bad, you're screwed.
I mean, they do in Face Off, too, but in Face Off, they always try to throw a little drama on it. Like, you know, they always show a clip of the person being like, yeah, well, I had to stop working on my own stuff for a little bit to go help this person. But it's like, you know, in real life, they didn't care. They wouldn't help them if they were really behind on their own thing. And Henson doesn't really throw that drama in. They just show it kind of matter-of-fact, as artists are. It's like, oh, you need a hand with that? Sure, I got a minute. I'll help you out. No problem.
Yeah, yep. I can see that. The on the opposite end of the spectrum, Ink Master just finished up, too, the tattoo competition one. And, oh my gosh, I can't believe how people hate each other so much on that show.
Yeah. That's, it was like such a... And not to mention the judges on that show are just the worst judges ever any reality TV show.
Well, I was having a discussion with somebody, like, basically comparing Face Off and Ink Master. And the difference, I think, is the personality of the people in the field is... tattoo artists, the way it's set up is each shop is pretty much individual.
That's true.
You are your own person, so you can go out there and have whatever kind of shitty personality you want to have. And if people like your art, they'll come to you. And I mean, that's just the way it is. But in, like, makeup or comic books or, you know, like the Jim Henson's Creature Shop, anything like that, it's an industry. And you make a bad name for yourself, you're done.
Yes.
That's very true. Yeah, you make a very good point there.
Because, yeah, the people on... I mean, there were artists on Ink Master that I really, really enjoyed to watch, but some of them I was just like, holy crap, yeah, I would never hire them for anything.
That's the other thing, you know, is you have to, even though it's an individual game and, you know, you can be competitive with the other people, you can't be a jerk because people are like, I don't want to get a tattoo from somebody who's going to be an ass, you know?
Well, that's not true because, I mean, yeah, honestly, if I was going for a tattoo, if I'm personally looking for a tattoo and I'm like, I have this design I want to make sure it's done flawless, especially me as an artist, you know, I'm going to be super picky with it. If I watch a show like Ink Master and I'm like, man, this guy is the biggest asshole in the world, but he's also the single best tattoo artist I've ever seen, I will go pay him for that tattoo. I don't want to talk to him. I'll never hang out with him, but I will have that person do my tattoo. And that's why they can get away with having the crappy personalities, because it's not an industry. It's like a bunch of individual stuff that kind of comes together as a pseudo-industry thing.
You do have to remember, though, that sometimes when they're the jerks, they're very, very bent on their personal style. So even if you bring in a design, they probably won't stick to it.
Oh, no.
Because it's your art style that they're doing, and they might not be happy with that.
No, but I would also watch that show, and I mean, there's the people that stick to that. Like, the one episode that I saw, because my girlfriend watches it more than I do, and I just tend to catch it whenever she's watching it. But, like, you get people that are like, oh, no, black and white's my thing, and they're making me do color, and this is stupid. And be like,
yeah.
Well, you're not a good artist then. I mean, if you have a thing, and that's all you can do, you're not a good artist, and you don't deserve to be on this show. Peace.
Yeah,
especially your whole job revolves around being able to replicate what other people ask you to. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, you guys know. I mean, Travis, working with professional artists, the whole big part of that is being able to remove your ego from the equation.
Yeah, that's right. Just in case you guys are wondering, the reason why we know Travis is because we've all done comic books together. we're all artists in collaboration and in crime.
Calling me an artist is a bit of a stretch.
What's that?
It's like calling me an artist is a bit of a stretch.
You did our letters.
You're a word artist.
Finger paint.
I mean, I'm not as bad as an inker. comic book jokes. Anyway, moving on.
I've been watching Fargo.
Yes, I watched Fargo. Holy cow.
Newest episode? It's crazy.
Yeah, I did. It was awesome. Dude, you saw the original movie, right,
yeah.
Dylan? Okay, good. Yeah, dude, Fargo is just fantastic. Billy Bob Thornton is off his tits crazy. Like, holy crap, but it's awesome.
I don't think I've heard that particular colloquialism before.
Yeah, did you say office tits crazy?
Yeah.
Off his.
Oh. Sean, you heard what I heard?
I heard what you heard.
Okay, I like that saying better.
I mean, like, I was, like, office I didn't realize that was a type of, you know, tits.
Like, it'd be crazy to see some tits in an office, maybe. I guess it kind of makes sense.
That's pretty
depending on what kind of office you're in.
Yeah, it's like Microsoft in Office. My office, it's weird.
There you go, guys. Wiki anime review of Fargo. Office tits crazy. But yes, Fargo is very good, and I've been watching it, and I love it.
Not anime related, but
no, yeah, not a super animated, but very, very relevant in certain aspects. Very, very informative as far as art and arts, artistic wise, and whatnots.
We never make tangents on this show.
No. Hey, our fans like our tangents.
That was like a freaking side quest.
Still not
how much
complete.
Experience did we get then?
Nope, still not complete.
We
no
are
experience.
All worse for going. Oh god, all there's right. 30 episodes of Gaim.
Well, I guess you better get moving.
Shut
better
up.
Start watching yesterday.
Yeah.
Alright, so that's it for what we're watching, I suppose. So it's time to move on to our Tapagotchi, finally!
Yeah, now that we're already an hour into this recording.
Yeah. Now, we did have a skip week last week, so this podcast is coming out a little late, so we're a little bit late on the news, but the thing that we wanted to cover on our Tapagotchi today, which is also the reason why Travis is here, is we wanted to talk about the Power Rangers movie that was announced a couple weeks ago.
It wasn't really announced, it was the fact that...
It was speculated.
Yeah, it was speculated in the fact that there is going to be another one. And
American, by the way.
Yeah, Saban. Or Saban, right?
Saban and Lionsgate.
Yeah, yep. So, man, Lionsgate, holy cow.
It's going to be so dark. So many dark shadows.
Our mission here today for our Tapagotchi is we are going to pitch, ridiculous or not ridiculous, we're going to pitch Power Rangers movies.
Yeah.
So,
let's ideas.
Yeah, let's first start off by speculating the American Power Ranger movies that have already come out.
Because being the Power Rangers the movie and Power Rangers Turbo the movie.
The movie. Yeah.
Movie.
Excuse me, it's called a Turbo movie. It's not Turbo the movie. Why
is
he defending
really?
That?
I thought it was...
That movie's terrible. It doesn't matter.
But, all right, now, before we go any farther, I do need to point out something about the two original movies. First of all, the first one is not canon in any way, shape, or form. Like, it was its own thing. It had nothing to do with the TV series other than it used the same actors. The second one was an actual bridge for, like, jumping into the next season of the Power Rangers, which went into Power Rangers Turbo.
Yeah, you can tell.
Like it too.
Yeah, it was terrible. which is rough for a season that starred Tommy, you know?
It didn't stop for us from buying the movie on DVD though. So
yeah,
we still have both Power Rangers.
Within the past couple months, I bought both of them. Yeah,
yeah, on DVD. Yeah. So,
jeez, like, guys, I haven't even seen the Turbo movie all the way through.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What?
I told them we were kids.
I've seen less than 50% of it, and was like, I don't really need to see the rest of this. This is terrible.
But they're fighting on a volcano.
It's terrible.
That's the part I saw. I saw what is arguably the best parts of that movie, and I don't need to see what's worse.
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. They don't even have a proper combining sequence for the Zords in that movie. Like, you never get the awesome transformation scene. You're just like, what the hell?
I'm totally playing devil's advocate. I know it's not a good movie, but
I'm not even going to argue with you. I'm just going to walk up there and slap you.
It's a hell of a walk.
Okay, so we'll bypass the Turbo movie for now. Sorry, a Turbo movie. The original Power Rangers movie, I actually rather enjoy a lot.
The only thing that really, really, really bugs me about it is the stupid CGI Megazords.
Yeah.
They did not have a man in a costume punching things, and that was
annoying. Don't even have that.
No,
the show
they tried
anymore.
To make a brave move on that, and it wasn't good. You know what? Actually, recently I've read an article about that movie, and honestly, it's kind of amazing that movie was made at all, because apparently everything went wrong with that movie. Like, the script, what was scripted was not the movie that we got, because they had to do shoots and reshoots because all sorts of stuff kept going wrong. They had entire scenes that we didn't see. There was a whole other Dulcea. So honestly, when it comes down to, like, now that there's the CG Zords, I'm just like, you know what? Fine, whatever. They wasted so much money doing other stuff, I get why they didn't polish that off.
My favorite part of that movie still is when they're fighting the bone dinosaurs. And the Triceratops bone dinosaur, like, takes a swing around, and a camera guy goes, whoa, and moves out of the way. Like, clearly on the camera, it was just awesome. It's so funny. You can, like, pause the movie, and there's this guy in a crew hat and a blue t-shirt, like, yeah, like, whoa, look out! Like, it's just the funniest thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of continuity errors in that movie.
And Ivan Ooze is, like, still one of the greatest villains ever.
second to Zed. Yeah, I legit love Ivan Ooze. Like, I'm with you. Like, not even playing devil's advocate, I completely understand every flaw about that movie. And yes, there are a lot of them, and that could take up its own podcast talking about all of them. But I still put that movie on from time to time just to watch. I just love it. Just listening to it, it's like a 90s music video. It's
for sure.
Great.
Yeah, it's super 90s.
One of my
there was rollerblading.
One of my favorite tidbits about the movie, the guy who played Ivan Ooze, does anybody know what he's done recently? I
can find out for you.
I know what he's done. The most recent thing that I know of that he's done is he is the priest from Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
That was him?
Yeah, that was Ivan Ooze.
Wow, I love that movie.
Yep.
Paul Freeman.
It's funny that you mentioned the rollerblades thing, because I made that same joke at during our hardcore anime panel, where I asked the audience if they even knew what rollerblading was because of the Madball clip, and I called them liars when they said yes.
God, that movie.
I know, it's really, really fun to watch. I think the last time we watched it was with Dylan. Like, we bought Dunkin' Donuts for dinner.
Yeah, I'm going to do that with Dylan tonight.
Yeah. You should, yeah.
Dylan, you sound like a great date.
Dunkin' Donuts,
I got
dinner,
Dunkin' Donuts
movie.
And Power Rangers. We should get
seriously, Dunkin' Donuts and Power Rangers, I'm pretty sure that's actually the basis me and my girlfriend have for a relationship.
I know for
we
a fact
have
it
so
is.
Much in common. I only wish I could join you. So, for a new movie, let's start off with some ideas.
Wait, quick, I did actually make a list of things that I wanted to go over, so I wouldn't forget them. So I'm going to throw out the Travis's list of rules. Some of these are actually just like one-off thoughts that I haven't really decided which way I want to go. But
sounds really good, yeah.
There'll be arguments that can be made. But the number one thing that I want to see, because I've seen a lot of this pop up, I am grouped with a lot of like Facebook Ranger-style groups. So I see a lot of ideas and stuff getting thrown out there, and a lot of, you know, people talking to the old cast members about coming back and things like that. And so my number one thing is actually I really, really, really do not want them to cater the script to old cast members coming back.
You don't want to see JDF?
No, I'm not saying that I wouldn't want to see them. I don't want whoever the writer ends up being to cater the script to that. If it happens, if it's natural and it flows and these Rangers come back for whatever reason, you know, these actors, that's fine. But from my understanding, this movie is Jason, Tommy, you know, that whole crew, just redone, reimagined. So I don't see any reason for these actors to come back unless it's in, like, somebody had said something about, like, Austin St. John coming back as Zordon, things like that. So, I mean, you know, things like that, that would be, like, a cool little, okay, haha, you know, that's fun. But in any significant way, I really don't want people to butcher the script just to be able to get an actor in there from the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. That would kill me more than anything, just seeing, like, just completely shoehorned spot in there.
Right, yeah.
I guess that's true.
I want to see something new and original as opposed to kind of rehash. And yeah. from what I understand, from what I've read so far, that that's exactly what they're trying to do, is capture that original magic again, kind of put lightning back in the bottle. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one, buddy.
And so this is my other one, and I think we can kind of all be on the same page with this one. I think you guys wouldn't have asked me here if we weren't. Is this movie can be good. There's a lot of people out there that are instantly naysaying it, like it's a terrible idea. It can be good, but no faith in this movie means we will get a garbage movie. Yeah. So I know there's a lot of fans out there that want a good movie, and I know part of the problem is you're not going to please everybody, because there's a lot of purists out there that basically just want to see what the original Power Rangers were all over again. Yep. But, you know, that's going to piss off people like me, because I don't want to see that again. I acknowledge that the original Power Rangers are terrible, and I love them because I was a kid. And, you know, looking back, watching it now, there's a lot of flaws there, sure. But there's a lot of opportunity to explore really cool ideas, but, you know, exploring those cool ideas will piss off the purists. So just make a good movie. Please just make a good movie. Don't worry about
people. Old Power Rangers is so fun to watch still, and I totally agree.
Even some new Power Rangers is fun. You know, like, I enjoy some new stuff even still nowadays, even though it still has that campy feel to it, you know, that campy good old-fashioned Saban action.
Here's my thing. There's actually two things that come into mind when you say this. The first of all is, yes, again, like, and I'm going to point to things like Avatar the Last Airbender, not the movie, but the show. That was a cartoon that set out to be intelligent and thoughtful and amazing from the get-go, and it never sacrificed that Saturday morning cartoon feel to it at any point. Yep. So, like, you can still be true to what you are, but still be an amazing storytelling piece at the same time.
Yep.
And then, secondly, the whole, as far as, like, the new stuff that has good moments... I mean, and Travis, you and I sat there and watched all of, Power Rangers Samurai as it was coming out? Yeah.
Well, we watched the first half before they went on that big break.
Yeah, and then came back as, like, Super Samurai or whatever. And while it was not good, there were definitely moments that were inspired. Like, pretty much everything with Jaden.
Okay. Look, I read what the ending with Jaden was. Dude, when they set up, and I mean, Sean knows this because, once again, we watched it all together, but just for everybody else and everybody listening, when they set up in Power Rangers Samurai that Jaden had a secret early on, that was the coolest thing to me. I was like, okay, cool, you've got me hooked on this whole secret thing. The problem was they seemed to forget about it at times, and then other times it seemed a little too dragged out without dropping any real hints at what it could be. They were just like, hey, don't forget, by the way, Jaden has a secret.
Yep.
And I thought that was a total mishandling, like, to introduce it that early and then just kind of flounder with it for so long. By the way, what the payoff was this whole thing in Samurai was the Samurai Ranger thing is passed down through the family. So you actually find out the Yellow Ranger wasn't supposed to be a samurai because her sister was, but she got, like, terminally sick and she had to pass it to the little sister. That's a really cool moment.
Yeah.
Jaden's secret was that his sister was the real Red Ranger the whole time, and she was in secret training to be the best, so that way when the final boss came up, she could be ready. And so he's been hiding as, like, being the Red Ranger so she could get all this extra training in without being distracted or anything like that. That's a really cool secret. Better secret, better character moment was when he came back and he was like, no, I'm the real Red Ranger. I've really been doing this forever. And he took back over the team. All of that is amazing stuff. Had they not dragged it out over, like, a long season and basically, you know, floundered around with concepts here and there, it would have been so impactful. But
yeah.
I mean, the ideas are all absolutely there.
So you can do it. It's possible. Like, a lot of Power Rangers RPM had some really adult themes going on, but still told it in a childlike manner, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, and look at the Lego movie. That's a movie for adults with a kid's sheen on it. Like, that movie is written for, like, all the messages there are definitely for adults, but spaceship. It's totally made as a movie that kids will absolutely enjoy. Yeah. And the spaceship thing is somebody everybody loves. I don't care who you are.
That thing is hilarious. Charlie Day flipping out over a spaceship is something I will watch on loop.
So now that we've discussed that, do we actually want to discuss?
Does what Travis have anything more on his list?
Oh, go ahead, Travis.
I've got a couple things here that. Well, I got one more thing that I want to say to them, in general, to everybody and anybody making the movie.
This is our open letter.
Theme and Power Rangers is so easy. Like, the original Power Rangers, like, a lot of them still do it. It's so easy, and I hope they don't drop the ball, because in the original Power Rangers movie, there was no theme. It was just generic action. Ivanhoe showed up, you go on the quest to find the thing and beat him. You know, it was just good versus evil. There wasn't really anything there. But, like, Power Rangers did some really... I mean, some of them were simple. It was like, you know, the episode is like, hey, Zach's scared of spiders, so there's a spider monster he has to face his fears. Things like that. I really hope they do something more in line with that to get, like, a deeper meaning. You know, once again, the Lego movie did a great job with the whole father-son relationship thing that was just littered throughout the entire movie, setting all of that up. And so I really hope that they can learn their lesson and do that and not get something that's really empty. And I don't know if anybody has seen Divergent.
No.
I want to go see that.
I saw it and I was like, this looks bad.
It's a teen novel, so
no, I mean, but you know, so is Hunger Games, and I really like Hunger Games. But Divergent was really empty. It had no real purpose. I mean, the whole basis of what the movie's supposed to be on doesn't go anywhere. It's super empty. So I just hope they don't pick up, you know, trends like that and just be like,
yeah,
hey,
exactly.
Look, she learns to fight people and that's cool, and that's what we'll do with Power Rangers, is these kids learn to fight people. No, I don't want that. I want something better. I want something that pushes
good
character development.
That actually touches on something that I was really hoping for in the movie, which is something that the original, again, like the original show does, is the characters experience growth. They're good people, you know, but they're to me, the show was always about becoming the paragon of what you could be. It was about going through the trials and everything, and especially because, like, the first 5 seasons were all one continuous story, and it all led up to essentially what's Power Rangers in Space. And for those of you that haven't seen it, it's probably the most deeply personal of all of the seasons, because it's all about the Red Ranger rescuing his sister and mm-hmm. overcoming all of the doubt and fear and everything. And, like, the Rangers in that season weren't chosen. It was an accident. Everything was an accident, and they just learned to be better people for it, you know.
Cool.
And that's something I want to see, is because you're chosen to be a ranger because you maybe not exemplify the best in humanity, but you have the potential for it, because
yeah,
that's what the power chooses.
Right along there with the theme, like you have that whole, and I once again that goes with the theme, is like that power. What do you do with it? You know, explore that, make that fun. One other thing I want to throw out there is a general, hey guys, don't mess this up. The Zords, you know, we were talking about how bad the Zords were in the original one. Don't mess it up this time. There's no excuse. Honestly, like, you know, as much as you can trash talk Michael Bay's Transformers for so many things, those Transformers battles are mostly awesome.
Oh, no, that's Michael Bay's Transformers, as far as that goes. If Michael Bay got rid of all the human characters, his movies would be freaking fantastic.
Well, yeah. His entire budget CGIing that Megan Fox character.
Who isn't a real person?
And then
they're gonna do it in the Turtles movie too. Jesus.
And so you can go either, you know, that route where you have this full CGI thing and you just go crazy with it, which, I mean, honestly, I'm kind of leaning towards that, or you can go in the more new Godzilla route, which I know you haven't seen, Sean. This doesn't spoil anything. Basically, Godzilla in this movie is a CG version of a guy in a suit, and it works really well.
I'm okay with that.
Oh yeah, it's awesome.
I'm a kind of, but playing to the genre is never a bad thing, as long as you're unapologetic about it. You know, like,
listen,
you don't want to couch it and be like, oh, it's we're doing the genre in a hipster way because we're kind of serious but not really. Fuck off.
Yeah, no, they need to pick an avenue that they want to explore. Either, you know, go the Transformers route and go really crazy with it, or go the Godzilla route and just do, you know, a nicer looking version of a guy in a suit kind of thing, and, you know, keep it kind of the classic one that way. However you want to do it. Like I said, I'm personally leaning towards the Transformer style because I really love that and I think that would fit really well. We'll see where they go. And then the last thing on my list, and this is completely open-ended and start going into the pitching, is I haven't yet decided myself which I would rather see, so I'm kind of curious what your guys' pick is on that. Is with the Ranger suits, are we looking to have armor? Like, the original Power Ranger movie had, you know, like that plastic armor thing, but I mean, with the new age, with Avengers and everything, I'm really wondering if they're going to go with a more Iron Man-ish kind of look.
Well, you've seen you've seen, like, the fan art out there. So, well, even your own, I mean, there's some really intense stuff.
I kind of need to preface this next part with something. So Travis and I did a little comic book together for a little while.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Call it Codename Power, where we did, like, an American take on the Super Sentai genre.
I still have that.
Yeah. Oh, true. And Travis, I mean, so you haven't fallen on either side of the fence, whether you want the spandex or the armor yet, then.
Well, this is my thing, is the second part with the spandex is, I would have, I mean, honestly, a few years ago, I probably would have very quickly gone for the armor, possibly because that's what we had for Codename Power, and, you know, that's kind of what was in my head already. But honestly, with things coming out with, like, you know, the Spider-Man movies and Man of Steel and all that, with the way the new age spandex looks, you can make it look good for television, you know, make it look good for the screen while keeping the spandex thing. So, I mean, it could go either way. I think the problem with going with the actual spandex is, you know, the fans are the only ones that kind of understand the spandex is supposed to represent some form of armor, you know, like protective
right.
screen over your body anyway. Everybody else just sees it as spandex. So
yeah. Sparks everywhere.
Yeah,
sparks.
I think more than likely it'll be like, it depends on how they do the morphers, because it might just be something where, like, if like the Morpher is some sort of alien artifact or whatever, whatever they decide to do, that the like suit could just be something that folds out from that or like encompasses the body that.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah,
I would totally be cool with that.
And once again, yeah, I feel like that would probably be closer to what they would do as opposed to like morphing and then showing up in like a spandex suit.
I'm gonna split the difference on this one and actually say that because I thought about this and I'm with Travis. I kind of don't want to see power armor. I feel like that's its own thing. I still want to keep it a little bit more true. If I were in it, I would be like, if we're gonna do this, we need to keep the feel of the spandex but update it in a way that makes sense. And I feel that the right way to do that would be like more the motorcycle leathers style, you know, uniform, which you do
yes,
see.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Which you see in like Kamen Rider all the time. You see in some of the later seasons of the Super Sentai stuff over in Japan have started kind of to pick up on where it's not spandex. They're wearing like, you know, colored leathers and they're heavier and they have some padding to them. But at the same time, they're still relatively form fitting. The helmets don't look out of place. I don't think you can go full spandex because then you get that bobblehead look that you get.
We've gone full spandex.
Yeah, you can't. I just don't think full spandex works anymore, but I don't think that throwing armor on everything is the answer as much as I would love to see it because that's definitely where my head goes, like Travis's.
So arguably, let's say, for sake of argument, just going to have an idea in my head because I'm kind of visually putting together a costume as everybody's talking. Is spandex base with leather and metal enhancements, maybe like metal gauntlets and metal like leg pieces, but like leather elsewhere.
I'm thinking, a lot like a Kamen Rider outfit, but everybody has armor like the White Ranger. Like, you know how he had those armor shoulder pads and
That I disagree with. There's a reason for that.
And I know that.
That's Sixth Ranger stuff, and that's genre thing that you can't really touch.
And I'm just saying, like, instead of going full armor, you have bits of armor. I'm not saying make everybody the White Ranger.
Well, I don't know, because they even did that in Gokiger? Was that the one, the pirate one, that they're turning into, like, whatever it is now?
Super Megaforce.
Yeah, the Super Megaforce, because they had, like, full-on outfits, because they had, like, coattails and everything. It was crazy.
And the thing is, I'm not going to disagree to say, like, let's say you make everybody baseline the White Ranger look, you know, just for argument's sake. That's fine. But, I mean, the Six Ranger thing is still a step up. So I would say if everybody has the baseline White Ranger, Green Ranger is going to need something a little extra. So, I mean, I'm curious to see where all that is because it's such an open field on all that. But the problem is, and I think this is where all the knee-jerk reactions of, oh, my God, I can't believe they're doing this movie comes from, is because it's such an open field, there are so many ways it can go wrong.
That's the problem with Hollywood, though, is when you have to Hollywood things up, it's you have to go with what's popular. So what's popular?
Well,
you know,
honestly,
Transformers and Pacific Rim kind of and all those. So it's like make it look like that.
Yeah.
That's what they're gonna go for.
This popped up once in a conversation Travis and I had too. The shift suits from Pacific Rim are probably a lot closer to what I would like.
Yeah,
just a little less armor. True. Cut the metal back a little bit, and then you're looking at the right thing. You know?
Yeah. That's a very good base to go from.
Yeah. I didn't even think of that. Well, because that was the thing. Like, if those are the Power Rangers suits, then a Pacific Rim Jaeger is a Megazord.
It totally is. Kind of.
Absolutely.
So they could basically make. I don't want it to be a clone, but they can potentially make the movie look like that.
I mean,
tone-wise, I don't think it's going to be the same movie.
No.
I mean,
absolutely,
like,
not.
You know, Pacific Rim definitely has its own tone, and it's a little darker probably than even they'll do the Power Rangers movie, even though everybody's, you know, they're looking at most likely going a little darker. But I think, honestly, I think we're going to get Power Rangers in, like, a Hunger Games kind of feel, because I think that's going to be the target audience they're going for with this. I mean, as much as it's coming from Lionsgate and the guys that do Saw, I don't think that's the movie we're getting. As fun as that could be to watch, you know, I think we're going to get Hunger Games with Power Rangers is what it's ultimately going to come down to.
I have something to say now, because we brought it up. I'd like to address this one.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Which is about the tone of the movie. Yeah, how the word darker keeps getting thrown around and grittier, I keep hearing a lot also.
Yep.
I don't want that.
Visceral.
I think part of, part of what makes Power Rangers so amazing to me is the fact that it is so, it's just so force for good. It's so clean. It's so, you know.
Well, that's fine.
It is delineated good versus evil.
I think what people are trying to say is they don't want a B-movie when they say dark and gritty. Like, Because a lot of the other two Power Rangers movies are, they're not that great. They're kind of campy, and they almost come across kind to a lot of people. Well, yeah, as like a B
well,
movie.
Here's my point, because there's another example of when this happened in the past, which is during the 70s. If you look at the movies that were coming out during the 70s, they were really like dark and gritty, and they were all like cops and mafia and all that stuff. And it was because it was a really depressing time in the United States.
Yep.
And then there was a movie that came along that kind of put all of that on its head, and it was called Star Wars. And it was none of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And what it did was it showed that you could have good, clean storytelling and an excellent framework, and you could crouch this in kind of more of a saga of a feel and less of a down and gritty one guy against the universe thing. I kind of want that. I kind of want that iconic.
Well, see, here's my thing is when I think Dark Power Rangers anyway, I'm thinking just realistically speaking, in an episode or in a season of Power Rangers, how many people in that city died? A friggin' lot of them. And so when I'm saying dark, like, I'm just saying show the consequences of what's going on because of these guys. Like, it doesn't have to be dark. Like, the Power Rangers don't all have to be complete jackasses that, you know, got these powers, whatever. Like, look at Star Wars. You know, Luke's aunt and uncle got friggin' burned to a crisp. Stuff like that. Like, there's real consequences to the life that these guys have, either, you know, because they were chosen or they chose the life, whatever it may be. Because Luke didn't choose, you know, the life of the Jedi and all that. But shit happened, and he had to go about his way. So, you know, if we show that... you know, a Megazord going through a building kills a few thousand people, then all of a sudden the Rangers realize, holy crap, there's real stakes here. And then, you know, you realize that's what they're fighting for. So you still show that they're good people, but the darkness comes from showing the real consequences of what's going on.
Yeah. And I had a thought where in the fact that me personally, at least, and I'm sure I will have people who agree with me, is teenagers with attitude is still okay. Like, as far as a character base, using, like, the whole... I mean, obviously not the campiness of the TV show or the movies, but the fact that if they're going to be teenagers, you know, why not make them the full-of-themselves, cocky kind of teenagers with attitude thing that they were going with before?
I'm okay with, like, one or two of the characters being that way.
Well, I mean, they weren't all like that anyway in the TV show.
No, Billy was never like that.
Yeah.
You know, Kimberly was airheaded, but she wasn't... usually, you know, overtly mean. But I mean, I think you could change a few of those, like you said, John, just a few of them, and you give enough like inter-team conflict for them to grow as characters throughout the movie.
Yeah, because that's another big theme that you do see in all of Power Rangers period, which is you have to work together. It is not about the person alone. It is always about you are stronger with the guy next to you, you know. And I don't want to lose that. Like, I don't want there to be one guy who's a complete badass. Because even when the Red Ranger would go off on a tangent and just freaking decimate the enemy, it was always because he had the other four Rangers backing him up.
Yeah, you know? I don't think you have to worry about that, because if they're going to make a Power Rangers movie, obviously they have to sacrifice... I'm sure they're going to sacrifice tons of things that they want to do with the movie, certain things that fans will love, but one of the main things that they have to keep... is the fact that the Power Rangers are a team. And I'm sure... So I don't think you have to worry about that too much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want it to be so much about, like, their divergent personalities. Like, that's not what makes it for me personally, you know?
Look, I'm expecting and kind of hoping for Avengers in a Power Rangers setting. But, I mean, that was all their personality. I mean, obviously, Power Rangers is going to have to do a little bit of an origin if they're doing the reboot, showing their powers and all that, which Avengers didn't have to waste time with. It was like, we know their story coming in. They didn't have to waste. And honestly, I'd be completely fine if the movie kind of did what the episodes did, and in like 10, 20 minutes, they have their powers, they're good to go, whatever. Tell us the awesome story now. Show us their personalities at work. Give us those cool moments that Avengers had where you get to see two team members next to each other doing their particular thing with each other and see how their personalities interact. You know, what are Blue and Pink like when they're by themselves and they don't have the rest of the team around? What's their conflicts? What do they do well together? Things like that. Those are fun areas to explore.
Yep. I think it's going to be a chase cam movie.
It's going to be a found footage film.
Okay, so now there we go. Transition into the fantasy. I know it's not going to be this, but what if it was this kind of a Power Rangers movie?
Okay.
So we got chase cam.
If it's a chase cam movie, it's going to be found footage from the GoPro that a putty is wearing on his forehead. It's going to be the most annoying movie ever, because you're just going to be hearing that the entire time.
No,
I disagree.
I would say though I would say that maybe they should be a new form of Power Rangers power suit, which is like the Camera Rangers, so that you can get different camera angles as they switch through.
I kind of want to see the Iron Man cam with these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, with like the head inside the helmet.
The head inside the helmet. I think it's totally something that can happen.
Samurai kind of does that, so I mean,
Samurai did that a little bit.
So
yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be unfounded for them to do something like that. So I was gonna say my little gag on the chase cam thing would just be that it's all from Alpha 5's recording point of view. They find his busted body in the command center at the end of the movie. So,
oh my god, I would leave the movie. Yeah, the whole time.
So who would direct this movie? Who would direct the chase cam Power Rangers movie?
I put a lot of thought into that. I haven't been able to pin down Edgar someone Wright. Who would be crazy, like awesome.
Edgar Wright. For a chase cam movie.
He's not on Ant-Man anymore. Maybe he's on Power Rangers.
Because here's my thing. Not for the chase cam movie. This is my pitch for a movie. Is and I know a lot of people probably just hate it. Is Zack Snyder's Power Rangers.
I was thinking about that. I feel like that might be.
I'll punch you because their capes will be gorgeous.
Well, Zack Snyder can make the best action scene I have ever seen.
And that's just it. Like
second to Edgar Wright, by the way.
I'm a Zack Snyder fan. I know not everybody is a Zack Snyder fan. Like, I didn't really like 300 as much, but I love Watchmen. I love Sucker Punch. I love
Superman.
Superman. Yeah, I liked Man of Steel, definitely. So I'll go see a Zack Snyder Power Ranger movie. I think those would be some of the best action scenes.
Before we go any further, I have to ask. Travis, are you hoping for a Christopher Nolan Power Rangers movie?
Not at all. Not at all. Honestly, there's not a real big-name director that I would want touching this, partially because every big-name director has an established style. And Zack Snyder, his movies are gorgeous, and yeah, he can do some great action scenes, but he can't direct people for shit. So, I mean, we were just talking about how we want the characters to be good, and a guaranteed way to not do that is to put Zack Snyder as the director.
I kind of am okay with... I threw out Edgar Wright there, but I was pretty serious, actually.
No, I'll take Edgar Wright, actually. Yeah, I take his name back when I say not big directors, because he's a big director. He just doesn't get enough credit for the things he does.
Yeah, and I mean, like, Scott Pilgrim, when it came out, was the best action movie of that year.
Yeah, it was.
And... I mean, like, everything he touches is amazing, except for I did not like The End of the World or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, The World. Yeah, The World's End.
It was disappointing. I liked it, though.
I liked it, but it was not of this. It didn't feel like it was cohesive with Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz was, like, the best action movie of that year.
It is my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, Hot Fuzz is easily my favorite Edgar Wright movie.
But yeah, I feel like Edgar Wright really would be able to bring everything to the table. That said, though, if you're going to look for somebody, and you guys are going to hate me for this because I'm going to throw this out there. If you're looking for somebody that's going to be true to the source material, good with people, and good with the action, you go get Michael Bay.
I knew you were going to say that second.
Am I wrong?
Except their suits, yes. Their suit sparks were...
You're talking about Michael Bay being true to the source material, and he's producing Ninja Turtles, and how good is that? That is a whitewashed Ninja Turtles if ever I've seen one.
Oh, but Ninja Turtles has a bajillion backstories.
And we've said this like 3 times now. Michael Bay is just producing it. He is not directing
it. No, I know, but producer means that he's putting his input. He's pushing his vision on this. So yeah. Director or not, with the producer, he's pushing his vision. The director hasn't exactly done a whole lot of really great things either. So this is not a promising combination when it comes to remaining true to anything. It'll look great.
I totally think it'll look great, but...
We'll see.
I mean, if you can't get the story nailed down, if you can't get Christopher Nolan to do it, go ahead and just get Michael Bay to do it. Well, at least it'll make a bajillion dollars.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like we'll talk about both Christopher Nolan and Michael Bay. Or Christopher Nolan's will be very story driven, but I feel like some of the action that has potential might be lost.
I was joking with Christopher Nolan.
Oh, I know you're joking.
I wouldn't have even put his name forward. There is another director I think should be looked at, and that
Wes
is
Anderson.
Jon Favreau.
What?
Jon Favreau.
Jon Favreau, man. That's not a bad choice.
Yeah, because he did Iron Man pretty well.
Say Wes
he
Anderson,
did action
so.
And comedy equal measures really well.
Yeah. Jon Favreau always surprises me with how good of a director he is, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but my pick for a director is Brad Bird.
Yo, oh I support that 100%.
I totally
Wait, Brad Bird?
Yeah, because he did Well, first off, he did The Iron Giant, which is like one of my also one of my favorite movies of all time. But he did The Incredibles, and then he did Mission Impossible: Ghost Protocol.
Yep.
That movie is gold.
I forgot about Brad Bird.
He is
Everybody always forgets Brad Bird, believe me.
And that's just it. Brad Bird does kind of sit in the background, but he makes like just some of the greatest movies ever made.
All right, there are two men that if they get attached to this, I will just march to Hollywood and kill them. And that's M. Night Shyamalan.
I don't think he's going to be hired for anything ever again. I'm pretty sure.
I think he's only doing his own
movies. I think he's working on TV now.
Bryan Singer gets anywhere near this.
Who?
Bryan Singer. Good God.
Bryan Singer. I hate him.
Okay.
I hate him with a
this is my thing. This is my thing about Bryan Singer. One, I haven't seen it yet, but apparently the new X-Men movie is by far his best X-Men movie, which I don't know if anybody knows my opinions, isn't saying a whole lot. Even his best movie, X2, isn't that great upon
I thought X2 was his best?
Yeah.
Oh, I hated
that. X-Men movie. Of X-Men movie.
X2 was definitely his best, like, definitely his best effort.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, he has one legitimate one movie out there that I absolutely love. It's not a superhero movie, and I don't think his superhero movies are particularly great, but that's The Usual Suspects, so that still always gives me like
I still haven't seen that movie, so
him.
I can't.
But with Days of Future Past, I haven't seen it yet. Everybody keeps saying it's good. Like, all the reviews that have been coming in have been positive, but I can't help but look at these previews and look at Quicksilver and be like, he looks like a bad cosplayer. How did this make it in the movie?
Yep.
I think my bias for that comes from that I'm just not an X-Men fan. Like, I've just never been an X-Men fan, both comics and movies, just so I just didn't enjoy anything about those.
I mean, I'm pseudo an X-Men fan, which means I was in that sweet place where I wasn't going to have that purist thing where I was expecting certain things, but I also wanted something good. And some of those movies delivered the first time around, like X2 delivered the first time around where things were pretty, but, you know, upon rewatches, it's like, oh, well, there's two good scenes in that movie and everything else is garbage.
Yeah.
And then Wolverine X3 is terrible. Wolverine Origins is terrible. I mean, most of the X movies are bad. I'm curious to see this one. I did like First Class. I'm curious to see this one.
No. You like Fassbender as Magneto.
I like Fassbender as anything. But I know I did like First Class because they hit a lot of things. They hit really good character moments, and they weren't scared to be a superhero movie, which is what Bryan Singer's thing is. Like, he's been scared to make superhero movies, is what it seems like with these X-Men movies. Like,
he's a closet nerd that they keep giving a budget to.
So one of the things is you had mentioned you said there's two people that I don't want touching this movie. And when you said two people, I thought you meant like team ups that usually show up.
No.
So the first thing that came to my head was Joel and Ethan Coen or the Wachowskis.
I would. Well, I don't know as excited about the Wachowskis, but the Coen Brothers Power Rangers would be insane.
Yeah. It would have like that. It would be like, I don't know, is this funny? I'm laughing, so I think it's funny, but I don't think it's supposed to be funny. So, like,
is this campy? I'm not sure.
Yeah. So,
Definitely not the Coen brothers. The Wachowski brothers, unlike everybody else, I still have faith in them.
They're the Wachowskis now, by the way.
Yeah, I do. I love the Wachowski brothers. I'm not going to be politically correct. I'm not going to be politically correct, okay? They made The Matrix when they were the Wachowski brothers, so... the Wachowskis.
I thought that Speed Racer had a lot of really redeemable qualities that other people just didn't get.
A lot of people, a lot of people really enjoy Speed Racer, even though it got a lot of bad media. That means nothing.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing the Wachowskis doing. Although the new movie that they're working on, I'm not that excited for. It just looks like all eye candy with a bunch of confusion.
Which is exactly why I'm on board for it.
And Channing Tatum.
Thank you. Because it's Jupiter Rising?
Jupiter Ascending, maybe? Something about something. Jupiter going up.
But it looks like Channing Tatum finally doing something interesting.
Hey, actually, you know what? Okay, Sean, you know better than anybody how much I hate first name.
I'm with you, and now all of a sudden I am not that boat anymore.
But no,
are you talking about first name? He has like two last names.
Or last name, whatever. He has
two
names.
Which
for
the longest time we didn't know if his name was Tatum Channing or Channing Tatum.
Tanning Tatum.
So anyway, like I hated him forever because he was doing terrible, terrible things and consistently doing terrible things. And one of my happiest moments was in G.I. Joe 2 when they killed him. And I was just like, this is so good. It feels so good after all this time.
The first 20 minutes of that movie, he was having this wonderful buddy cop relationship with The Rock.
Yeah, G.I. Joe 2 was a much improved movie. And I mean, but we all know that Snake Eyes is the best part of G.I. Joe. So
I say The Rock because The Rock's the best part of anything he's in.
I feel like Channing Tatum finally found his niche. He does comedy.
He does.
Yeah.
He's gorgeous, and he does comedy. and he needs to stick to that.
Yeah. So. Gorgeous, I don't know. He's not John Hamm, so.
But yeah, no, I agree. Like, his comedy stuff is what's given me a new light on him, because his little cameo in the end of This Is the End.
Oh my God.
That cracked me up. He got a lot of points for me on that. I haven't seen, but I've heard nothing but good about 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, so. That's what I heard too.
Oh, it was really funny.
So he's coming around on me, but I mean, I don't know how it'll be in Jupiter, but it looks, I mean, the Wachowskis always put out art books in motion form, so I'm yes. good with seeing it.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to pick a director like that I think could do both parts really well. I think a lot of you guys' suggestions might be good choices, but I'd be curious to see who they pick.
Yeah, I'm gonna be really, really, because all my suggestions were pretty much joke suggestions.
Yeah,
as much as I love every single one of them that I said,
they couldn't do it.
Because I mean, the Coens, you know, obviously that was a joke. They're my favorite directors almost ever. And
yeah, besides Guillermo del Toro.
Besides Guillermo del Toro might be able to do a really good job with something like this. But
yeah, I forgot about him because he does love the Japanese culture a lot. Like he would be familiar with this. And I just his tone is always really weird,
yeah.
Which could work. He could do that.
He has a very fanciful tone.
Like, he could make a good villain.
Like, because
well, this is my thing. I think he would do a great movie if we were telling the story of like the prequel of Rita Repulsa and crew. Like, he would definitely be the go-to guy. But for a Power Rangers movie, honestly, as much as I love Del Toro, I would not pick him.
Yeah, you'd be able to get him to design whatever monster the Power Rangers
would be
fighting.
It would be gorgeous and weird, and you would want the Rangers to beat it, but you'd feel bad for it at the same time.
Yeah. I just feel like if you were going to get Del Toro to do it, Del Toro would make a movie that felt like the Edward Scissorhands version of Power Rangers. Yeah. Like, it's like a weird looking glass version of what it is.
That's what I mean. He does everything fancifully. Like, like everything has a little bit of a fantasy touch to it. And all of his design, like Pacific Rim, like all, even like the control rooms in Pacific Rim looked like everywhere they went in Hellboy. So
yeah,
it's kind of like that.
There's a freaking name I forgot right until right now. You said team, Travis. If you're doing a team movie, there's only one guy you should have been talking to as far as dialogue, and that's Whedon.
Yeah, but realistically speaking, that's not going to happen.
See, no. Josh Whedon. See, I like Josh Whedon, but I really think that people kind of hype him up a little too much. Like I've enjoyed every single one, almost every single one of his movies that he's made. I can't think of one that I really haven't enjoyed.
I used to feel the same way.
I just feel he handles multiple characters better than a lot of the other directors out there, Singer.
I agree. I will absolutely agree with that, because like Cabin in the Woods was all multiple character based. Avengers was all I didn't like his multiple characters, and I mean I should say specifically I didn't like Black Widow and Hawkeye. Everybody else felt fine in that movie. So yeah, I will see. I do see how his multiple character base would be good for that.
But the thing is, okay, let's say realistically we're not getting Whedon to write this, but if there was a possibility, I wouldn't mind him doing a little bit of a script doctor job on whoever does actually write the initial script. That would be fine to punch it up some.
Yeah, that's cool with me. And like I said, I love Joss Whedon. I think he does a great job on stuff. I just think because he does the nerdy things, but like maybe Power Ranger isn't his kind of nerd.
Right, I agree with that. Like, he'd write a really awesome Billy.
So I don't know how much longer we want to go on to this, but I was wondering about actors. Like, now we're talking about directors, actors who would want to see. Like,
well,
would we want to see original casting for it, or would we want to see old Power Rangers? Because I mean, like, honestly, you can't really have a Power Rangers movie without JDF. Like, that's,
yes, you can.
I would like to see brand new actors, but like, I'm all for like cameos or like him existing in that world, but in like a different capacity or something. Like,
yeah.
I feel like also it would be funny to see. I know he's been in a bunch of stuff lately, but since Bryan Cranston did play a villain at one point in the Power Rangers series, it would be funny to see him again.
Actually, that was one of the points I did want to make. Even though like people would probably see that as, oh, Bryan Cranston's just popular, so that's why they're using him. No, he was villain. Like, he started off as villain.
It would be
Power
amazing
Rangers.
If he did that and then actually played like a crazy villain in the new movie, like the actual main villain.
I'd be all about that.
I'd be totally fine with that. Totally fine with that.
I was just thinking they were talking. Oh yeah, remember they a bunch of people really wanted him to play Lex Luthor, and then that never happened.
Got Jesse Eisenberg instead.
Yeah.
I think.
When you say it out loud.
But no, I mean, I would love to have Bryan Cranston. But I mean, as far as the original cast, no, there's no reason to have them, especially if you're doing the teenagers thing. You know, clearly age alone puts all these guys out. If if the script ends up being time based, where there's some sort of time travel thing, could you even possibly logically throw it in? But Tui Trang is dead, so you're not going to have the full cast. So then that starts becoming this weird, like, picking favorites kind of thing of why. Now you have to write in why the Yellow Ranger didn't come back.
That's a really good point, and that would be a really awkward script writing moment.
You just touched on a weird thing where you said a weird time travel thing, so J.J. Abrams is now directing this movie?
Nope, get him out. If I get a single lens flare, I'm hitting someone. I'm with Travis on this. I don't want to see... If you're relaunching it, if you're legitimately making this a thing where you're going to be going forward and trying to reboot the franchise... Let's reboot the franchise.
I'm gonna agree with everybody and say no to the original castings, but I would like to see a JDF cameo.
I don't get me wrong, I'm just a saying. Fan of everything he's done. I guess I'm over the hype.
No, that's cool. I still really like JDF is all.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's cool that he still comes out to conventions and everything, but like I don't know.
But
his charm is worn off.
But he also doesn't really do anything else. Like he's a Power Ranger. That's what he's known for. So
was Billy
David Yost, I guess.
Yeah, and he was on more episodes than Jason David Frank was.
Yeah, he was.
Well, in the original series.
No, he was all the way in through Zeo, man.
Yeah, he went for a long time, and JDF. I mean, JDF came back, you know, and even with his cameos and stuff like that, though Billy still holds the longest running spot for a Ranger.
Really? That's crazy.
Bulk and Skull hold it overall, though.
Yeah, I will say that, but yeah, that is very true.
They are the two that have to come back.
I wouldn't mind seeing Bulk and Skull show up, though.
Yeah, they are the two that have to come back.
No reason to not have them.
Except they have to be, like, straight-edged and, like, businessmen now.
No, I'm sorry. I'm going 100%. Do not bring the old actors back. Unless cameos, but not cameos as their character. Just like, you know, the guy sitting at the table next to the Rangers, so all the fans can be like, oh, that's cool, that's them. But not so much of the speaking part.
No, Travis, I agree.
The kid that played, what was it,
Spike?
Spike? What about him coming in?
Nope.
Because he's supposed to be, nope, just done.
Nope.
Spike.
The whole thing.
Won't do it.
Look, I'm sorry. In my opinion, for what they're trying to sell this movie to me as, from what it sounds like, and then me adding a little bit of my own hopes on this, this is not the television show. This is not the universe. None of those characters belong here.
It's so hard to predict that, though, when Saban still is attached to...
No, and I mean, that's fine. I mean, like, give me that story again, but don't give me those actors. As soon as you bring one of those actors in, especially as the character that they played in the show, you instantly screw up every bit of reboot thing that you have because you instantly tied in a continuity elsewhere into your movie now, which means that if you tie in Samurai by bringing Spike in, you've tied in Mighty Morphin because they exist in the same universe and all that stuff. So if you're doing a Mighty Morphin reboot, just do that. Don't bring in any of the other old actors unless, like I said, it's a purely visual cameo. So, you know, if JDF is in there, he's not Tommy. He doesn't pretend to be Tommy. He doesn't say a line that acknowledges Tommy. It's just JDF is there on camera with some Power Rangers, and they're doing their thing or whatever. That's the closest to anything like that I would want to see.
Yeah.
Cool. You really have... Flesh this out, haven't you, Travis? That's pretty good.
Dude, I've been doing concept art since this thing was announced. I emailed the people that were on the press announcement, which, by the way, they've updated it so their emails aren't on there anymore. That was a first maneuver.
Oh, crap.
Dude, I've been trying
to stalker your way right out of that.
I kid you not. I have been trying to get a job with this thing, and my most recent one is now I'm trying to get the inevitable comic book adaptation job.
John Hamm is Zordon.
No, I wanted Robert Downey Jr.
He can be Alpha.
Bryan Cranston,
honestly.
As Zordon?
As Zordon.
I would want him to be a bad guy.
And then Aaron Paul
I want him to be Zordon.
Power Ranger.
Aaron Paul as a Power Ranger. That's not a bad idea.
Yes,
hey, yo,
is.
Mr. Zordon.
Wait, honestly, okay. MTV had a fantasy cast thing that they put out. I really liked a lot of their picks. I don't know if you guys have seen that or not. I forget who all the actors were, but they legitimately picked some people where I was like, yeah, this wouldn't be bad. They had some where I was like, no. But they actually had a lot where I was actually like, wow, that's actually a really well-thought-out casting job for that character.
Cool.
So I'd say go check that out. I'm sure that's up on
the... No, put it in the description. Yep, link in the description. But for now, let's move on to some fan service.
So first up in fan service, let's start off with this one on Tumblr.
Really? Okay.
Well, I mean, it's just going to be quick, so... Yeah.
Anonymous asked us, they're looking for Japanese manga and light novels, and they were asking where it would be good to find Log Horizon. Now, I can't speak for light novels because I have no idea where the heck you'd be able to find a light novel, unless it's on Amazon or something like that. Now, if you do want to find hard copies of these things on Amazon, you can. I just don't know if they're in English. I will say... Really, there's plenty of manga readers online of scanlations and anything like that. A quick Google search of the name plus the word manga will bring up either manga reader, manga fox, manga here, all those kinds of things.
Okay,
so we'll move on to our buddy Gerardo, who wanted to talk about Godzilla. Now I'm going to cut out as much of the spoilers as possible. Well, this is what his just his speculation of the movie is. So if you want to cut it short, basically what Gerardo said, he felt like he was expecting a Specific Rim feeling movie with Godzilla and it beating up the monsters the whole time. But he felt
Rim.
It was campy, kind of a Monster of the Week kind of a thing.
It was missing that.
Oh, he felt like it was missing that. He thought that Godzilla was a supporting character in his own movie, which we've already discussed. And I told that to him. And I basically explained to him... I know why he didn't like the movie. I completely understand why he did not like the movie. And, you know, everybody has their own opinion, which is fine. I just explained to him that we at Wicked Anime here, we did enjoy the movie a lot. But
it's also because it was what we were expecting.
Yeah, it was exactly what I expected where it was very Japanese. They stuck to the Japanese formula of doing a Godzilla movie, and where Godzilla, I was not expecting it to be like Pacific Rim. I didn't want it to be Pacific Rim. I wanted Pacific Rim to be its own thing still. And the fact that Godzilla was a supporting character didn't bother me because Godzilla is a supporting character in all Godzilla movies, or at least almost all of them, because I know there's been some where Godzilla's been the bad guy, and it's kind of been about him, and about the Japanese fighting Godzilla specifically. But I personally really enjoyed the movie, but I understand why people do not like the movie. Minus the nitpick, or the characters, like, whatever. Move on to shameless plugging. So, if you guys want to join in on our conversation about Power Rangers, if you have your own director that you would like to see, or
cast members,
even jokingly would like to see, send us that, and we'll discuss that on the next topic of the podcast. You can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we have frequent updates on cool news, things that go around, episodes that we might be releasing, whatever. And then you can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can find our review videos and our podcast if you're not listening to the podcast on iTunes.
Rate and review.
Yeah, rate and review us on iTunes, please.
I think the first slot is still available.
We'll get there.
Finally, you can find us at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, where we have all of our best material. As far as giving you information about the world of Japan,
videos,
reviews, whatever you may be looking for, and stuff that you might want to laugh at. We just released not too long ago our Anime Boston 2014 video, and I can guarantee you have not seen a press video like this before. Also, hopefully there should be a new video coming out very, very soon if it's not out already. I only have like 2 minutes left to edit. I say only 2 minutes, but that's like a couple weeks worth of work. Travis, do you want to plug some of your artwork?
Where can they find your stuff, Trev?
DeviantArt. Username on there is Diabolical. So diabolical.deviantart.com. And then my Facebook page is facebook.com/artoftravisearls. And it's fairly active. I try to post something up there. I was doing every day for a while. I try to keep as frequently as I can. And so basically get to see whatever projects I'm working on, new prints or the comic book or whatever kind of things I might be working on at the time.
Thanks, Trav.
All those will be in the description as well.
Yeah. I'll plug my art stuff too. If you want to find Travis, you can go to my DeviantArt page which is StickFigure5000, and Travis, me and Travis are linked on that, so you can find Travis through there. But you can also find my work.
He wants people to find your page through his page. Yeah. Is what he's saying.
Yeah, exactly. You can also find my work at StickFigure Domain, also all one word, StickFigureDomain.wordpress.com. That is my art portfolio. Dylan,
What's your art portfolio, man?
It's, well, it's still kind of in shambles at the moment, but it's hetrickart.com, H-E-T-R-I-C-K-art.com.
Like Glenn Hetrick. Mm-hmm. And mine
might
is,
be related. Who knows?
And mine is jfleming3d.wordpress.com. That's where all my, most of my stuff is. And then you can find my DeviantArt is wonder-twin. Yeah, hooray for collaborations. You can find out. You can, in fact, to make this relevant on my portfolio, you can find the comic book, the Super Sentai comic book, which is really short. It's only 4 pages.
It's Sentai.
Yeah, the Sentai comic book comic strip that Jonathan and I wrote, or Jonathan wrote, I did the art in my illustration gallery.
It's on mine as well.
Yep.
All right, so that's it for this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast.
Thank you all for joining us, maybe, if anybody has joined us.
Thank you, Trav, for joining us.
Thank you, Travis, for joining us. Thank you, Sean, for joining us.
Hmm?
We'll composite in, a Sean laugh in there.
And then, or no, maybe we'll put the Godzilla roar.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's it for this episode. We will see you all next time. It's time to sign off the only way we know how.
K-bye!
Don't tell me. Years I'm free! Years. Time to conquer Earth!
Alpha, readers escape. Recruit a team of teenagers with attitudes.
Yeah, I would more prefer to see Bryan Cranston as a villain than Aaron Paul as a Power Ranger.
You know,
yo, bitch, get
Bryan
the
Cranston.
Sword.
It's good because it's blue, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can be the Blue Ranger.
No. You threaten me like that.
Wicked Anime! Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling friends, rating and reviewing on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating to the network. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. To find out how you and your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of the Wicked Anime Podcast, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on your favorite social networks. We're glad to be your home for authentic nerdy entertainment.